All right, well, you just start now?
No. Yeah, we could. You wanna?
Who's got the cucumber?
Oh. You don't mind if we play a quick game of who's got the cucumber, do you? I assume that you, we don't have to have a cucumber.
No, we've got a cucumber. Hold on, let me fix this first.
Greetings, cocktail fans. Welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, one of your hosts. Unfortunately, I'm not here for this episode, but the show must go on, so I leave you in the capable hands of our other two gentlemen hosts. And here they are now, Fred and Jason.
Well, again?
Again. Where's Dave?
I don't know. I don't think he does the show anymore.
I heard he moved to the States.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that be something?
They'll never take him down there.
No?
No. Never a green card or a brown card. I don't even think he has a Visa card.
Well, he certainly spends enough time down there, so they should give him something.
They should. But yes, he's not here.
Well, we're just us.
Just us.
Fred?
Yeah, that's you.
And Jason?
I go by Jason.
Yeah?
I will also answer to Big Papa J.
Jake?
Jake.
Can I call you Jake? Big Jake?
Big Jake.
All right.
J-Bug 2000.
J-Bug 2000? All right, that's catchy.
Yeah, no, you're just Fred.
I'm just Fred.
We're not going to try to
no
color you nice and easy.
Sometimes I'm known as Frank Parker.
Really?
Yeah.
Who calls you Frank Parker?
I've been about, over the years, about three different times, I've given people my name, and I've looked at it later, and they've written down Frank Parker.
I think that's great.
I know.
I think it's a great pseudonym.
I've actually been using it. Now I got to come up with a new one.
Frank Parker. So you could check into a hotel.
Yeah.
Frank Parker.
Frank Parker. As far as I know, that's what I said. I think a lot of times they think that is what I've said, so.
This should have been the character of the non-existent thing that we were going to do this week.
It is.
Yes. So we'll just keep that under grab.
Okay.
But no, there's a teaser.
Is there?
Frank Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? It's a lot of suspense.
Oh yeah. No, we'll say it again.
Yeah.
And we'll put in like a suspense tone.
Yeah.
You want to say it together?
Okay.
And then are we just going to say Frank Parker?
All right. And then I'll make a noise.
No. We're just going to be quiet. I'm going to make a noise.
You're going to make a noise.
Yeah, not with my mouth though.
I don't want you to do that then.
No, with the computer.
Oh.
So that when you play it back,
yeah,
they'll hear what we're going
to
say.
Do you want me to get you the computer now?
No. This will be I have to go to my own home to do this.
How long? Because I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, no. All we're going to do now is say the name. The end. I will drop in the required Foley, and then you can pretend that you actually listened to the episode and said it sounded great.
It did sound great.
Sure it did. So in the future,
yeah,
we're going to do the new thing. Frank Parker!
I think that's great.
See? Now people are going to be like, what is this Frank Parker thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to start writing that now.
That's right. Well,
or no. Can we cut this part out?
No, we're going to keep that in there.
Oh.
Yep, that'll be great.
Just write me a note later so I know what's going on. What is going on? What are we going to do?
Well, you know, we didn't have Dave.
Yeah.
And
rudderless.
Exactly. And now that we're getting people leaving comments and
suggestions. Well, it's the one guy and the one comment, but we're just playing it for all it's worth.
But then Sheila left a comment for another thing, saying,
what?
Because in our previous episode, we mentioned breakfast cocktails. And she said, is that a thing you guys could do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everything I could do not to make breakfast cocktails.
Exactly. So that could be another future one. So.
Oh, okay.
But the comment that you're speaking of from this fellow was that could you do simple ones for newbies?
Sure.
And I don't think either of these are going to fit into the newbie thing. But they are simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to get off your couch. You got to do something.
Yes. Which is only right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to go to the store at least if you're going to make cocktails. Otherwise, it ends up being just apple juice and cauliflower, and nobody wants that.
No, but that's what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Apple juice and cauliflower.
Yeah.
No, we're going to be doing two simple drinks. One called the Pimm's Cup.
Right. That goes back quite a ways.
It goes back quite a ways. In fact, normally we would frown upon this, right?
Well, we
because
would.
We're snobs.
Sure we are. You know, but it's so old.
It's so old. It's been grandfathered in.
Yeah, they've got they sort of snuck it in. It's sort of a 100 and some odd year version of the pina colada mix you buy at Safeway.
Yeah. This was winning awards in the 1800s.
Yeah. Nothing recently, though.
What is the latest thing on here? 1951.
Oh.
It was introduced to Cape Town. That's what it says there.
Oh.
But it's produced in Great Britain.
Yep.
And the Beatles came from Great Britain.
Sure.
And this.
And there's something else. It'll come to me.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to do a Pimm's Cup, using Pimm's number one.
Pimm's number one, which you can buy. It says here on the back of the bottle, and it's reiterated elsewhere. James Pimm opened his first oyster bar in the city of London in the 1840s. Hmm. He called it Pimm's Oyster Bar.
Catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprised we didn't go there.
I don't know if it's still there.
Oh.
Well, Google that.
Yeah.
And he had a unique drink, which became famous as Pimm's Cup Number 1. And then he sold the business in his name.
Yeah.
And people packaged this and sold it with his name on it so that you could have instant Pimm's at home. Basically a gin-based thing. It's gin and sugar and coloring and herbs and stuff like that. And you add it to 7-Up.
Yeah.
Sprite.
Lemonade.
Lemonade. Ginger beer.
Ginger beer. Ginger ale.
Ginger ale.
You can make it any way you want. So we've got a couple different options here.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you had a Pimm's Cup?
Yes, we can tell because the it's not full anymore.
Oh, you're right. Have you ever ordered one? Maybe that's what I should
have. No, that would just get you into trouble.
I ordered one once.
Oh, what happened?
I drank it.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, I would. I would.
Oh, sure. I put it in my mouth, not all at once.
Yeah,
a good. Little
that's
at a time.
The way to do it.
Until my glass was empty.
Yeah. We should have actually covered that in the first episode, the proper way to drink a cocktail.
You're right. We'll touch upon that. But yeah, if you can do it orally.
Yeah, that's the way.
That's the way to do
it. Yeah,
If someone's trying something else, yeah. You know.
No, you should. That's not the bar for you.
That's not the bar for
you. Unless it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe it is. But sure. Even, you're still not going to get the benefit.
I suppose you're right. No.
You could enjoy it.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
And I think that's really what we're talking about.
No, here. We're talking about flavors.
Mm-hmm.
This has to really been either snorted or drank. But it has to go on your head.
Yeah.
It has to go on the front of your head.
Good point.
And that's what Pimm's, I think that's their slogan.
Drinks for the front of your head.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, that makes sense.
And it's so simple because it's the two ingredients. So, right. I mean, do you want to do the Pimm's Cup first?
Well, let's, you know, I was going to do the other one, but I'm all excited about the Pimm's Cup.
Well, let's do the Pimm's Cup.
All right.
It's right in front of us.
Yeah, and do you want to do it two ways? Pimm's Cup two ways with just a little slurpy slurp of one and the other?
Sure. What is our other option? We have the Sprite.
Sorry about the 7-Up company. Yeah, now they're on the. I'm on their blacklist, just like Bacardi's.
Well, the Pimm's people say on the back of their thing here that you can use 7-Up, ginger ale, or Sprite, or lemonade. So as long as it's fizzy and lemony, that's all you need.
Yeah. And we got the ginger beer. We have Fever Tree.
Oh, I thought this was going to be tonic or something.
Oh.
No, look at that. It's Fever Tree Premium Ginger Beer. Oh, I didn't know you had money. Moneyed ginger beer. Then yeah, we got to do right. One of each.
Well, we've got is there a garnish with this?
Dale DeGroff.
Oh, Dale. He's he's one of the Holy Trinity. There's like six of them, so probably more than that.
He always garnishes with a cucumber spear and an apple slice.
All right. How big's a spear?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, about like that.
About like,
sure.
Here we go.
2.5 inches. But if you had a taller glass,
yeah.
It would make it a longer spear.
All right. That's a not very good with a knife.
No, that's hence your surgical practice that failed so miserably in the early 80s.
I thought you could learn as you went along.
Yeah, you can.
You know, but that was before the internet. I think now with YouTube, I'd be a much better doctor.
Oh.
Didn't you think?
We'll put that into Frank Parker.
Exactly. Amateur surgeon.
Yes.
All right, so we've got... So we want to cut a couple more glasses then for for the Pimm's
for the cup. Because we're just going to combine 1.5 ounces of Pimm's, and then we're going to put in a splash of our Sprite, and then in our ginger beer.
Maybe a shorter glass.
Yes, let's do a shorter glass. We're just here for the flavor, but I can already tell you.
Yep.
This is a delicious drink.
Really?
Yeah. We don't even have to make this drink.
Okay, we can just skip it.
We could just skip it and say this is go buy the stuff and make it. You're going
to
like it.
All right. On to the next drink then.
Well, I want to taste it.
Oh, okay. Well, I do too, because the only time I had it with 7-Up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. But then, I like things complicated.
Did you garnish it?
Oh, I had no time for garnish. You know me, it's poor, poor slurp.
Poor, poor slurp.
Well, you know, that's me.
Have you got a jigger handy?
Let me look. I bet I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw these spears in while I'm standing. But let me go to the jigger cabinet.
All right. And I will open this bottle to fill, so we don't have a lot of dead air on the...
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the time to spend opening the bottle. You can talk while you're opening it.
I could, but I wanted people to hear the fresh sound of a lid.
I'm going to bring a second...
And I can already smell the cucumber, of course, because cucumber is such a potent scent. So, I mean, try many crackers.
So,
Should we just make it calls for an ounce and a half.
Right.
We're going to splitty-split?
Sure.
Okay. In there and in here?
Well, we'll do these two first.
Okay.
Because they're lower. Oh, I see.
That's what I meant.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that one's a little bit more so.
Yeah, so we're going to try it with the Sprite first.
All right. And so it says to combine the two. So there's no real amount of the...
They don't say how much Sprite?
On here they say, on the Pimm's bottle, 1 measure of Pimm's, 2 to 3 measures of that.
Okay, so you've got...
So I would put...
3 of those?
Yeah.
Each?
Yeah, because we got about an ounce in there.
Do we?
Yeah. We'll do 2.5.
2.5.
But we'll give you the exact proportions on the website, gentlemenofelegantleisure.com. And you'll be able to have
it
yourself.
Is that what we do?
Yeah. We give the actual... The actual recipe.
Oh, okay.
Can be found.
Yeah, don't... you want that.
And you want a slice of apple to garnish in there as well? You got a knife?
I'm glad you mentioned that.
And bloodlust.
There's a slice.
Perfect. It's when I had it last time, I almost thought of it of a, almost a sort of a sangria vibe off of it.
Really?
But I'd been drinking Pimm's cups.
All right.
Actually, I think I'd been drinking something else. Anyway, cheers. To absent friends.
Yes, absent friends and absent-mindedness.
And what was that? So yeah, so you get the freshness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apple and cucumber. I think Dale's onto something with this.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
And obviously, you get the 7-Up, the Sprite hit.
It was supposed to be over ice. Gosh, you know, Dave goes away and we just drop the ball because everything's all been refrigerated.
Yeah.
All right, well, pretend that there's ice in this.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What is that?
You get that little herbal thing. Whatever the mysterious herbs are that's in it, you get that. Right?
With the, I would almost cut back on the 7-Up Sprite mix. Just to get a little bit more of that.
Well, you're certainly allowed to do that.
Yeah, you can do anything you want.
Because you're going to have this by the pitcher full. And it's low alcohol, right?
Yeah.
The Pimm's is only 25% as it is. And then you're going to cut it back even more. So this is something you can have 18 of. Over your afternoon.
Yeah, so it's, you'll be down around 10%, which is like a strong porter or beer or something like a strong ale.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Or a nice bottle of wine.
Yes, a low alcohol wine, a Prosecco.
Exactly.
Or is it Prosecco?
Don't get me started.
Just a Prosecco.
Just a Prosecco.
Let me check this out. But this is a great drink, and if you wanted to have a simple drink but looks like it's more.
Yeah. Well, the garnish makes a difference.
The garnish makes a difference.
Mm.
And the fact that there's already pre-mixed stuff.
Mm.
And you've been...
I mean, it's a little bit sweet, obviously, because of the 7-Up. So I think if you change the ratios a little bit less sweet.
Like if you used a Fever Tree Premium Ginger Beer instead of that?
Ooh, that's a good idea. Hey, let me throw some ice in these.
Alrighty. I'll wait here.
Pardon me while I
Make a machine. make some noise.
Make some... you people out there, make some noise.
There you go, a little bit of that.
I forget what Pimm's goes for in the stores. It's not a very expensive ingredient. In fact, I've enjoyed this so much that I might grab some on the way home.
Yeah, no, it's actually quite reasonable for considering its heritage and you know where it's from. I mean, consider that bottle. Some poor working stiff in London had to make that bottle himself.
Yes. You know where their office is?
No.
On 78 Marylebone High Street.
Marylebone?
Yeah.
That's a place.
It is. And I think we're saying it right. I hope we're saying it right.
Oh, I...
If you're British and you know how to say Marylebone, which I might have been called that at some point, because it was a...
Really?
I forget if it's related to a church.
I think so.
There might be a church of Marylebone, and it might be like a sneaky thing. I don't know. You know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know what you mean. So an ounce?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do an ounce again. You're liking that. I can see that because you're drinking it.
I really liked it that time that I had it. And I don't know why I haven't bought it, the Pimm's cup. Or no, sorry, the Pimm's liqueur, I guess we could call it.
Yeah.
It's in the gin section. It's by the gin and vermouth in your stores, is it not?
We didn't get a picture. Well, we'll get a picture of this one. Here, let me do that while... ginger beer. Ginger beer. Ginger beer is right there. You want to pour that out?
Sure. Uh-oh. Make sure it doesn't do anything awful.
No.
I always enjoy the Fever Tree products.
Oh, yeah.
I would even enjoy it more if they can comped us a bunch of products. That's how easily swayed I am.
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't take much to get your undying gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
How's that looking?
So we're going to put ginger beer in here.
Nice.
And that smells great. Have you had the Fever Tree ginger beer before?
I don't know that I have. What can you tell me about it?
Nothing.
Good.
I've used their other products before. I like a really hot ginger beer. I want a ginger beer that makes me sneeze.
Oh, sneeze.
And there was a great one whose name escapes me now. David Wendrich spoke of it. And I found it. It has a red cap on it. They call it a ginger ale, but it tastes more like a ginger beer.
Ooh.
And when I first had a sip of it, I spat it out because it was almost like it triggered everything wrong in my face. And the same face hole that I'd put the beverage in,
it came right back out
with a cough, a violent cough. It was just like, oh, it was so fantastic. It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, no, I'm you're not really selling that.
No, gosh, it was fantastic. Just so gingery. And it just caught in that part of the throat that says,
nope. Oh, yes, I've had that. I've had that part. Well, let's give this a whistle.
This is the Pimm's Cup with ginger beer as opposed to Sprite.
Mm. Oh, it's all ginger beer in the nose.
Mm-hmm. That's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. But the ginger beer sort of walks all over Pimm's.
I guess it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Sprite here, you got the flavor of the Pimm's coming through. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. No, it's just spit it out. Mm.
Yeah, I would, again, go with the lower ratio to get more Pimm's flavor in that, but that's just me.
Right.
More of a one-to-one, maybe.
Really, one-to-one? Maybe one-to-one.
Yeah. I'd try it.
Yeah. But it's still, I don't know.
I like it. I mean, I like it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get a little more.
Because of what we're doing. You bought the Pimm's.
Yes, I know.
You don't want just the coloring of it.
No. I mean, to me, it almost tastes a little bit like a Moscow Mule.
Well, maybe that's the ginger beer doing that too, though, right? Because the ginger beer would walk all over the vodka in the Moscow Mule.
It wouldn't even know it was there.
In fact, I don't.
Oh, I spilled it.
Now, I have a recipe we should do one time that involves vodka, because we weren't going to do a whole lot of vodka drinks, but it was created back when it was hard to get vodka.
Oh.
So it's almost like, if you can get a hold of vodka,
you might want to try
this. You could do this little drink.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think the Pimm's Cup is simple, elegant looking.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you serve this to people, they would go out of their minds for it, thinking that you were something.
Oh, yeah.
If this was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, remember that show?
Yeah.
This is what the food guy would have you serve. And you'd be like, what is this? nice.
Where'd you get this stuff? Yeah.
You say, oh, I just whipped it up. Mm-hmm. Whipped it out.
Yep. It's, yeah, no, I like that. I would just, and the Fever Tree is good ginger beer, but yes. I think it's, yeah, it's a little overpowering for the Pims.
And Fever Tree is also from London.
Well, then it's appropriate.
Yes, Chelsea Wharf. Did we go to the Chelsea Wharf? Is that one on the way over there to the O2?
Sounds about right.
Wow. A lot of people don't know that Fred and I went to the very last show of Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
We were there in the audience.
Yep. That was us in the back.
You could see us.
One of the...
I was the guy that laughed really loud during the argument sketch.
Oh, yeah. Because they were trying to make it current.
Were they? No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were talking about... Oh, the argument? Yeah. No, parrot sketch.
Parrot sketch. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
By that point, I was all laughed out.
Yeah,
I was just getting started exhausted. To tear up.
Oh, it's almost over.
But yeah, maybe that's not the Chelsea. That's Canary.
Oh, Canary Wharf.
Canary Wharf. Over
oh,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Built by the Reichmans or Reichman Brothers.
Really?
I think so.
From the third Reichman Brothers? Or is this...
the guys.
I don't know them.
Yeah. Well, they're around.
Business
guys? Seagrams.
Seagrams.
Am I mixing them up?
I don't know. Now you're just throwing out names. The Rothmans? The Rothschilds?
Rothschilds?
You don't know.
I used to know a lot of things. Anyway.
You know who made that Seattle's Best is owned by Starbucks?
I don't think so. You tried that on me before. Now, the guy that had the inside scoop is gone.
Well,
I can go back to my original premise.
All right.
Well, that was good. I like that. I'm going to try some more Pims a little later on with the... I'm going to mix it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a bit of Sprite and a bit of ginger ale.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Yeah.
The important part is to get the Pims in there, garnish it up, and I think the more ice you can get in there, that might be nice, too.
Yeah, I think so. And then you've got an apple slice to chew on.
Yeah, no, it's healthy as well.
Oh, sure. And cucumber is known for... It's good for your complexion. I think it's a diuretic.
Mm-hmm. Diarrhea.
It gives you diarrhea.
So after you have this, you could put these on your eyes.
I will.
Yeah.
Actually, I actually will do it. Nobody will know that because, of course, this is radio.
That's right. In fact, you're doing it right now.
Huh? Except I can't see where anything is.
No. Well, that's the part of the danger. And Dale DeGroff says, and why the hell not? Why not give this guy his props?
Mm-hmm.
Slices a green apple.
Yeah.
Now, if you put a red apple in there, you know what? That'd be okay, too. I think he's just trying to go for a look. But if you had the green cucumber and then the red apple, well, you know what you got there? It's Christmas.
Mm. It's July.
What?
Unless you're listening to it.
But you'd order it like that. You'd say, this is Christmas. Like when we were in New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and you could order your plate of flautas or whatever mm-hmm. we ordered. You want the green, or you want the red, or you want Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't wait. I just was like, Christmas!
Yeah, we had to leave right
away. Yeah, I don't know. I shouldn't have shouted that to that old woman so early in the morning.
Actually, the nice thing about the green apple slice is it's a little bit tart.
Mm-hmm.
It goes well with the 7-Up version. I think I like it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I lost mine.
Here, a spirit with this.
Oh, thank you. Fred has handed me an HB pencil. Yeah. Mm. This is probably the best garnish we've ever had.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Let me bite of my cucumber here.
Yeah, this is the crunchy part of the show.
Yeah.
Mmm. Wow, holy cow.
Who knew? Vegetables, fruit, and booze all go together.
Mm-hmm. This gives the British Empire its staying power.
Oh, yeah, I know. You have a little bit of this, you're good for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
did you wash any of this fruit?
Nope.
Okay.
I figured we were rinsing it in alcohol.
This is so mild, though.
Yeah, really? I could get some vodka. We can rinse it in that.
That's all right. The damage has been done.
But I can rinse you in vodka.
We'll see how it goes.
Mm. Well, that's pretty good. There's nothing people like more than listening to people eat.
I know. So we'll move on. But it's funny. By moving on, we're mm-hmm. still going to stay incredibly simple.
Yep.
And we're going to try something that you and I have never had.
No, this is a first.
Nor would we even want to.
No.
Based on what this is, you would never want this. But the great British public was mourning. It's the British again.
Yep.
And Queen Victoria's beloved Albert had died. And they were, it says here.
Keep talking, I'm going over here.
Oh, sure. It says here in Dale DeGroff's amazing book, The Essential Cocktail, in 1861, the death of Queen Victoria's husband, Prince Albert, set off a long period of deep mourning in the British Isles. They even draped their champagne in black, hence the name Black Velvet. Oh, we have some here.
This is cold.
Oh, this is cold. Oh, sure it's cold. It's got ice in it. That's fantastic. Guinness. Guinness Draft. Brewed in Ireland. Serve extra cold. Phew! That was a lucky break we did that. So the drink is called the Black Velvet. It's never been wildly popular or widely popular in the United States of America, and I would imagine that Canada would probably fit into that bill too. Because it's a mixture of champagne and Guinness Stout.
Get out of here!
I'm telling you.
No, that's ridiculous.
And so to combine these two things together, it's supposed to create a lovely drink.
Supposed to?
Yes.
Will it?
Well, we're going to find out.
Oh, right.
It says that the champagne cuts the heavy, syrupy consistency of the stout, and the stout takes the sharp, tart edge off the champagne. Each is the perfect complement to the other. And in doing so, you will still pay respects to dear old Albert, who bit it back in 1861. And, I mean, it's funny, you never hear anything about Albert, other than the Albert Hall and the Victoria and Albert Museum. And the fact that Christmas trees are brought into your house every year.
Yeah.
But other than that, Albert is a myth.
He's disappeared.
Yeah, a footnote to history. No, he was obviously...
That's what I'm hoping to be.
A footnote?
Yeah, at least. Or at least a reference. Of some sort.
Sure, I just want to be in the bibliography.
Well, who doesn't?
The required reading.
Well, this is going to take quite a bit of work.
So in a Pilsner beer glass, if you were going to be doing a great big one, or a silver tankard, if you got one lying around, slowly pour together equal parts stout and champagne.
And then what?
And you put it in the front part of your head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that?
Sure.
Do
you want to open the...
This is the real... Well, it's not the real deal. What are we, made of money? So we've got Mum Napa. Méthode Traditionnelle.
Oh, well, it's a brut.
It's a brut.
From California.
From California. So you know it's real. It's good stuff.
Sure.
Well, Mum's bought into the California market so that they could make cheap stuff, too.
Is that right? I thought you said your mum bought into the California market so she could make cheap stuff.
Well, she did. But they had to sell.
Oh, too bad, because that would have been handy to have.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good to have that. So,
again, very, very simple.
Yes, let me open up one of these. You've opened these before. You know there's a little gas canister in there.
I do. You don't have to worry about it. You just open it, though, right?
Right. No, exactly.
But it's in there.
It makes a real funny noise.
There we go.
That noise there.
Yes, that strange release of
something.
What have you.
Yeah.
So that they could do that.
So I'm going to...
I remember once...
Careful.
Oh! Mr. Lincoln's been shot!
All right, you got that side?
Sure.
All right, I got this side.
All right, and how about we're just going to...
Eyeball it.
Oh, and it fizzes right up to the... And then it miraculously stops.
Of course it does. That's the ghost of Prince Albert. Saskatchewan.
And again, a very simple drink. All you need is Guinness and champagne.
Yeah, which you should be able to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not... So we discussed the sweetness of the champagne because historically...
We probably should have tried it up straight.
Which part?
The champagne. We sort of know what Guinness tastes like, but... Yeah, who cares? Now, should we import it differently? Because this is giving it a gigantic head.
I see that there's a lot more to this than meets the eye.
Yes.
So this time, I'm going to pour in the champagne first. We'll get about halfway.
Okay.
For the second one.
And maybe pour it on a bit of
an angle,
the old traditional angle there.
Yeah.
Minimize the boobling.
The Michael boobling.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to be working not too badly. I think that's about right out there.
That's good.
That's good?
Yeah.
All right, now you do your part.
I will borrow that, and we will come up to about where we're heading about to here, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. That's lovely. Yeah, I know it's the old standard how hard it is to pour a Guinness thing, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Because of the big headache that's on it.
But that's, so we're way ahead of the other one.
We are. I almost wish we had a third glass that we could use so we could actually taste it.
Well, there's a...
Let's try this one. I'm going to put the Guinness in first.
Okay.
Really, really slow here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what that does. Because Guinness is famous for having a big, big, big head on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic, unless you want to drink it right away because you're on sort of a time limit on account of your show.
Sure, we want to come in under 90 minutes. Well, that's looking good.
Yeah.
All right.
That's maybe a little bit more than halfway.
Maybe take a slurp of that.
All right.
There you go, even it out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
How's that tasting? Guinnessy?
Oh, it's creamy, smooth goodness.
See if we can make this work here.
And then adding the champagne to this black velvet. Now, I don't know how accurate that story is, because I can't imagine everybody in London was drinking champagne with Guinness in it to mourn the loss of this man.
Well, if they were told to.
I guess if you were told to, you would, sure.
They already gave you the stink eye because you weren't getting with the program.
It still comes off quite dark, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, all of ours here are slightly different looking. Now, if I look at it from the side, I can see that it's darker on the bottom and lighter on the top.
Hmm. But it doesn't say to stir it because it was all poured together. So,
right. I don't know. It'll mix up pretty well, I think, once you start drinking. So this one's...
This was the first?
Right. So this one's a little light. This one, maybe light on Guinness? Oh, okay. Somebody's been keeping track.
Excellent.
No more Guinness in that one.
There is more. We need more. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right, because it fizzed up on us.
Yeah.
And so this one, I think, was probably about
it was
here, right?
Yeah.
So it needs a lot more Guinness.
Mm.
All right. Let's come in here. Ginger. Oh, so ginger. But not Fever Tree ginger.
No. So, and this one looks about right. The first one we did, because we poured them at the same time, but the head was just impossible.
Yes. Now, this looks almost... Yeah, this looks right. This has a head on it. It looks a lot like the first one, color-wise.
I'm going to just take a shot of this one. So a lot of people don't know. We take pictures as we go most of the time.
And I'm going to take a sip of this one. No, I'm going to wait for you.
Are you?
Actually, I'm not going to take a sip of that one yet. Because this one here still looks right. This one, I'm put off by the fact that it looks like it needs to be stirred. Whereas these guys don't.
I think once you take a sip, it's all going to mix up pretty well.
All right. So, black velvet.
Yeah.
In a little boy's smile. Black velvet in that slow southern style.
Yeah. You got the short end of the stick there.
I might add some.
Yeah, right. You might.
To Prince Albert.
Prince Albert.
Wow.
So that's the only time they did this?
Yeah, it's the champagne cuts the heavy syrupy consistency of the stout, mm-hmm. and the stout takes the sharp, tart edge off the champagne. I don't think that happened in this particular glass. No. I'm still getting a lot of sharpness from the champagne.
I am too. Do I need more stout?
If only we had several cans of it laid about.
I mean, not that champagne's bad.
No. It's just, I don't know. It's,
you don't have enough to... Once you've started, you really got to get the right ratio.
From the description here, I thought this was going to be a mouthfeel. It was going to be smooth.
Yeah.
And I thought that... but I'm not sold on this concoction just yet, unfortunately.
It's got sort of a citrusy... I think the champagne brings a bit of a citrus note to the... So it's almost like some of those fruity beers.
Yeah, you're right.
So if you like a nice grapefruit Hefeweizen, this might be for you.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't like champagne, the second one is the second sip I have now. That's more balanced, and I don't not like it, and yet I don't. I don't want. I don't want to have one.
Oh. Well, that says it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, I don't mind it. I don't think it's unpleasant.
No. It'd be interesting to go someplace and order one and see how it came out to the table. And see if you started a trend.
Yeah.
People came out and said, hey, what's that guy drinking? Say, well, that's Black Velvet in honor of the death of Prince Albert. Oh my God, I didn't even know he was sick. What about Kate? That's William, you idiot.
It grows on you. You know, so these drinks where it takes about 4 or 5 sips.
Yeah. Well, it's probably similar in a way to a Shandy or a Black and Tan or something like that, where you've got a mixture in there, and then you have to be...
Your brain has to get you know, figure it out.
I don't think any beer cocktail is as accessible as a regular cocktail.
Yeah.
You're already dealing with a little bit of a weirdness. Which is not a bad thing. No. I'm just saying... It's not a standard cocktail. It's got a head on it.
Yeah.
It's champagne and beer. Two great tastes that go great together.
Saying like that. It's amazing that people are drinking it at all.
Mm-hmm. Stout. I shouldn't be saying beer.
It's stout.
It's the sort of thing that the Guinness people would come and throw a potato in.
No, they wouldn't. I'm getting used to the flavors. I wouldn't write it off. If you got a bottle of champagne left over from Christmas, and you want to pick up a couple of Guinness,
right?
Guinnesses,
and be different.
And be different.
Yeah, that's what it is. I can't think of the point off the top of my head because of the way we do the show here, drinking two back to back. You know, I would have had to come to your house, and you would have said, "We know what we're going to be drinking tonight." And I say, "Oh, what are we drinking?" And you say, "We're going to have Black Velvets," and then we drank these two or three of them or whatever, and we were doing something else. And you go, "Oh, okay." But it's so completely different that it's impossible to compare.
Well, we wouldn't do it. This isn't a competition. I mean, sometimes it is.
It is. It's more of an exhibition.
This, so
please,
that's right.
No wagering.
No. These drinks were non-competing.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of them qualify for winning the award of the season, the drink of the season. But... No, I think it's different. I mean, we picked these for specific reasons, and we wanted something that was simple. You could make, well, without having to get a lot of gear.
Mm-hmm. And both quite interesting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Black Velvet, got nice historical references. And it's growing on me.
Yeah, no, you're
and
kind
it's
of
nice
crazy
and boozy.
For it. It's certainly boozier than the Pimm's Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Because our Mum Napa is, that's 13. Plus the Guinness is, well, it's only 4.8.
It's only 4, but still it's...
It'd probably average out to about 7. Actually, it's probably less booze than the Pimm's.
I think about it. Maybe it is.
Because the Pimm's at... they're close.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just been drinking a lot today.
Well, you like to do a lot of research before the show, so...
I kind of do.
So I still have a little bit of the ginger beer Pimm's Cup left. Let me have a sip of this, although that just seems pointless to have champagne and Guinness. And then say, it doesn't taste anything like the cucumber apple drink I was having earlier.
So the cucumber apple drink, I'm now getting more of a cucumber taste off of than I was when earlier.
Ah.
So maybe sitting in it.
You're right.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You want to let that sit for a bit. So there you go. If you're going to do the Pimm's Cup... Let the cucumber sit in there for a little while, and you get more of the essence into the drink.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a little bit more interesting.
Makes it a little bit more summery.
Oh.
So if you're sitting on the deck, have it.
Yeah. Do that.
I used to write a lot of copy for ads.
Oh, yeah, no, you're good. You're good. You got to get the knack.
Yeah, that's
you know
gift.
How to draw them in.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah. So that's what I would, if you're sitting on the deck, right, that draws you in.
Oh, yeah.
And then how did I wrap it up?
Get it.
Have some. Do it.
Yeah.
All of those.
Just do it.
And then if you run out of Pimm's Cup and you've got some Guinness and champagne.
Yeah. Go to town.
But yes, two simple drinks, vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a cocktail newbie... I guess the Pimm's Cup over the Black Velvet.
Yeah, because it's got some history. It's an actual cocktail, basically, the Pimm's Cup. Or would have been a cocktail or a cup. I don't know. What did they consider it back then?
I don't know.
Punch?
I guess it almost is a punch, isn't it? How do you like a nice Hawaiian punch?
And I was thinking if this stuff didn't take long enough that we would get into the old-fashioned, because that's quite a hit. It's very simple, mm-hmm. which is why they called it old-fashioned, but it's very controversial. Not controversial. It is. It was. It wasn't. And then it was.
And now is it?
It's no.
No.
But, we'll talk about it another time. But right. But the nice thing is that with the old-fashioned, it is truly a simple cocktail.
Right.
Other than you need some bitters, but, you know.
And what is in the old-fashioned?
Old-fashioned is usually it's gin or whiskey. Gin or whiskey, I think those are the two main ones. But basically it's just that, a cube of sugar, a splash of water, and that's it.
Excellent.
And a slice, maybe a slice of lime if it's gin and lemon if it's whiskey. So it's nice. Really just... a thinned out sweetened booze.
Right. And you're right. That would be a classic. That's a Jerry Thomas kind of of a thing.
Yeah. And the story, and you know, I don't want to ruin the surprise.
That's right. Don't ruin it.
But.
Yes.
By the end of the 1800s, a lot of controversy about the whiskey cocktail.
Okay.
But
so this is going to be your special episode. You're going to have a lot of background on this drink.
Frank Parker will pop up.
Frank Parker!
Frank Parker?
Oh. Let's see what we can do.
Anyway. But yeah, as I was looking, as I was reading more and more, the story kept going on and on. I thought, this is kind of interesting. David Wondrich?
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard of him.
David Wondrich. He puts the wand in wonderful.
Yeah. From
Imbibe?
Imbibe. All right. Anyway, we'll talk about that. It was so interesting, I thought, well, we should have Dave for that.
Okay.
And
we should have Dave back.
Oh, sure. No, they can only handle Dave for so long down there, so he's bound to be back eventually.
Right.
Especially if he needs any health care.
Oh, exactly. If he's skinned his knee or something, he'll be back across the border here in no time.
Yeah. He's not gonna take any chances down there.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. But there you go. That was interesting. I was looking forward to the black and tan. Black and tan. The black velvet. We could do a black and tan.
I almost was going to say, but then we didn't.
It's okay. We've got years ahead of us.
We should
stretch this stuff out as long as possible.
And this was episode 30, so on episode 60...
Yeah, maybe we'll do the
black and tan.
But that's interesting. All right. You know, if you're an adventurous spirit, try the champagne and Guinness.
Mm-hmm. And if you're boring, dull as dishwater...
Try the black velvet. That'll cure you.
That's right. Fix you right up.
Yep.
This is great.
All right. Well, that's. I'm so glad that we did that. So, where did you have your black velvet?
I never had a black velvet.
You said you went out and had one. You had the Pimm's Cup.
I had the Pimm's Cup at the. There's a little place in Vancouver. You probably haven't even heard of it.
Oh yeah.
It's called the Cactus Club.
Not ringing any bells.
No.
Is it the exclusive? Is it a private club?
It's pretty
private. Like the Vancouver club?
Well, you have to grow your own cactus to get into it.
Oh.
Any succulent will do.
Oh, okay.
But they prefer a cactus.
Like an aloe vera, would that be okay?
Yeah, you can get into the lower parts of the building.
Ah.
Actually, nowhere I did go. Speaking of cocktail bars in Vancouver, I went to Reflections.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you do that?
Jennifer and I were in Vancouver one day last week. It was a Monday.
I could have been there.
You could have been there. Were you in Vancouver on a Monday?
No, I was working, but you know.
I wasn't. And so we went to Reflections at the Hotel Georgia. Now, you two have stayed at the Hotel Georgia.
Yeah, and we've been to the Hotel Georgia. There's no place called Reflections there.
It's hidden away.
I don't think so.
If you look at the Hotel Georgia from above, it's shaped like an L.
I always do.
And it's in the crotch of the L on the fourth floor outside.
Yeah. That's somewhere else. That's a parkade.
Yeah, you might be right. But look it up online and see what you can see. We went there because I wanted to go there.
Yeah.
And we did.
Oh.
That nice. Was okay.
Yeah?
There's better places to get a drink.
The basement of the Hotel Georgia.
The basement of the Hotel Georgia is a better place to get a drink. The lobby of the Hotel Georgia is a better place to get a drink.
So it's the third best place in the Hotel Georgia.
Fourth, because Hawksworth is Hawksworth also is a good place to get a drink.
True. Okay, so, well, it's in the top five, and that's important.
Oh, yeah, no, it's safely within the top five places in the Hotel Georgia. But, yes, we did go there. And it's outdoors,
yeah.
Partially covered, mm-hmm. Lots of water and stuff.
Water if you're thirsty?
No, just to look at.
Oh, looking water.
Yes, but it was interesting because the guy that was taking our payment, he said, yeah, we just redecorated everything here because it used to be sort of a fire and water theme. So they had a lot of fire pits.
Yeah.
And people would knock their drinks over and it would explode.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, so they got rid of that. So.
Oh, I wish I'd been there for that.
That was all part of their reflections.
They reflected on what they'd done?
Yeah, and said, you know what, this could be a whole lot safer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, if you're going to be spending your cocktail dollar at the Hotel Georgia, I would go to Prohibition or the Lobby Lounge or Hawksworth.
Yeah. Well, I hope that when you went there, you you treated your server well.
Oh, I did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when gentlemen of elegant leisure go out on the town,
mm-hmm.
The one thing that they do,
right,
they ensure happens.
They
tip big.
We didn't tip that much.